Yeah, even.
Okay, thank you, Laura. Okay, so is this working or? Okay. Great. Okay, well, because I don't know all of you, I do want to quick say, my name is Jessica, I'm married to John. I have Hadley, who is 13, and Camille, or Millie, who is 11, and Ike, who is 6. And I am not at all an expert in fashion or design, but I do love it and have loved color and patterns and how it all works and the theory of design since I can remember, honestly. So not an expert in that. Still going to talk about it. Also not necessarily an expert on mothering. Still going to talk about that. Let me tell you, I'm not an expert because I just found out like 2 hours ago, Ike had a terrible day. And I know that he woke me up at 6:30 this morning with a toothache, and we had to go to the dentist, kind of emergency, rotten tooth. They pulled it out. I'm like, wonderful mother, have children with like literally rotten teeth, pull it out. So he continues to have kind of a bad day, and I was trying to prep for this, and I said, it was like 5 o'clock. He's crying. He was like, my life is over. I have to learn to dive this summer, which he already knows how to dive. So I don't know what is the story there. He's like, my dad isn't good at all sports, which is like, that's also not true at all. Your dad is great at all sports. So I'm like, just, you're acting weird. You have not had that much TV today. Why don't you go watch a show? And he said, I have had a lot of TV today. And I was like, he said, I woke up at 4:05 this morning. I said, what? What did you, go back to sleep? No. What did you do? I went downstairs, where our TV is, and watched motocross. You watched motocross for 2.5 hours, 4 to 6:30, until he came into my room crying about his tooth. So we have a tooth problem and a motocross problem, and I've been a mom for 13 years. I'm speechless. I have no idea what do you do when a child has chosen to get up at 4 and help himself to the TV. I'm like, what? The neighbors, I'm sure somebody was up. That was weird. Little kid watching TV. I haven't told John that yet. I'm literally speechless. I don't know what we're going to do about that one. And that's why he was a wreck all day. So that was good. Okay, so let's talk about what we're talking about tonight, which is the spring look. The spring look is actually not that much different than fall 2019, which is the last time I did this, which was somewhat disappointing. I mean, although I liked all that was going on, when I started online, I'm like, this is all the same stuff. This is literally all the same stuff. I mean, there's additional, yes. Okay, so there is a few new things, but I think that they produced, obviously, in 2019, haven't sold it all off, and like, we need to keep all of this stuff around a little bit longer. So I felt pretty positive can we move to, I'm distracted that I'm not on the right slide. Is that my fault? No. I don't know why I'm pointing at the TV. Does it make it? I'm like, I'm sure that doesn't do anything. Okay. So the last time we did this, this was fall, this was September, maybe October of 2019. I was feeling pretty good about my look in general because I had great aspirations that I was going to get thin and fit and buy all the things because all my children would be in school. I was just going to kindergarten for the first time and my life was starting again. It's so great. And in fact, 2020, and then spring 2021, this is how I'm emerging. This is how I feel. This is Vivian Westwood, and she is a French designer, and she's in her 80s, and this was her a few weeks ago at Paris Fashion Week, and bless her heart, she, I mean, that is literally how I feel often. And so I'm just highlighting for you the fact that we're going to see statement earrings and crazy eyes going around, okay? And good for her for participating really well. And she looks shocked there. That's how I feel, a little crazy, shocked. Okay. So, you know, we always start with the Pantone color of the year. And strangely, the Pantone people decided, because I guess everything in the whole world is up in the air, that the color of the year would be two colors, but not call it the colors of the year. It's still the color of 2020 is two.
2021,
thank you. Ultimate gray and illuminating. I'm fine with this, but I also feel that's like 2005 to 2010-ish, that combo, you know, that gray and yellow combo, which is very pretty, but it's only like left us, I don't know. So it's a little bit confusing, but they justify it by saying that they are making a statement that the ultimate gray is about resilience and illuminating is about hope. So you're like, okay. We'll give that to you for 2021, but for 2022, let's just go back to like one color and no kind of statement, just like a color. So that's what we're working with. This is the palette, which I love because the colors are really true, right? They're really vibrant and they're really the true self of the color. Like a shade would be adding black to the color, and a tint would be adding white to the color, and this is just like the medium vibrant color, which I love. I think that's fun, and the colors are mixed all together, wear them all together. It makes me very happy. These are very vibrant, and I think they all look good together. Not over there, Jessica. Okay. So thumbs up for that. Oh, dear. Okay. These two we saw in my slideshow in 2018. You may remember Ashley wore a green and purple one, which I loved, which you didn't love, which I loved and I still love.
I do look at that picture and think, I should have probably kept it, but well, I mean, I would have like slept in it.
Well, that's how it turned out. Yeah, they really were previewing for us what our life in jammies was going to be like.
Did anybody see this? Like, I still never saw anybody wear that anywhere.
How many people did you see in 2020? I don't think we can accurately judge what really went on. I think that this is all kind of fake. Yeah, wink, wink. Yeah, so, I mean, good news for us is that, I mean, I think these are so cute. This is a little tight, right? But the matching fabric, matching color, it's like a little set. That's really cute. And it actually, I think it looks really good. It did allow for the jogging suit to be very popular, very comfy. I like what they pulled out here. We're still having a flowy pant. You know, the crop tops are a problem for most of us. What can we do? I don't know, but I really love that monochromatic look, and I think it looks really sharp. I mean, I prefer the prints because I like a more is more, but, you know. This is one thing that's new, vests, which I think might stick around. Like, this might be an actual thing that actually works out. The sweater vests, this is very, like, 90s, right? As a lot of clothes are right now. I like that for summer. I mean, she has really good arms. It would help if you had really good arms. The oversized vest. I had some good vests in the 90s. I did. I liked a vest. John thinks that vests are, like, the most useless. He doesn't like vests, like either wear a coat or don't wear a coat. Like, I think they're cute. I do like them. I put Martha Stewart up here in her vest because I don't know if any of you have been aware of Martha Stewart's like resurgent in the last 6 months. Like last summer she came out with that Instagram picture of her like coming out of the water, and she also is like 80 years old. And I mean, she's 79, but that's, you know, She does look amazing. So she, you got so much attention on Instagram. So if you follow her, she posts a lot. Her grammar is horrendous. I'm like, who is not proofing her Instagram? It's ridiculous. But she does post really good things. However, I think, when was this? I think it was this fall, maybe. She started wearing these vests. Things that were hers, her design, her thing that she is selling, a Martha Stewart line. Yeah. It's like a vest with a cap sleeve. So awkward and weird looking. And she posted like seriously like every other day. She was in one in a different color. And I was just like, and you know what? They have taken, I mean, like they sell because her Instagram is so popular. That it's popularized this really weird vest. So I'm not buying the vest. Feel free to buy the vest. I think it's, I like this. But that's too much for me. But good for Martha for doing something new. puffed sleeves. I think it's great. I love it. I will say I came down, so I bought this the other day at Target. And came down, and Ike takes a look at me and is like, oh, you're being Ma today. We've been watching Little House on the Prairie for like the last year. We got it, the whole family got into it during Corona. And I mean, he said it like over his shoulder as if like, oh, that's your costume today, huh? You know, because we do costumes. I mean, he wears costumes all the time, and he was just like, oh, you're Ma today. Which, of course, I didn't first get and then was like, yes. Yes, I am. Thank you. I just want to tell you, in the whole slideshow, this is like my second favorite picture. This lady with the green puff sleeves makes me so happy. She's so happy. Look at the look on her face. She's so satisfied with herself from picking the green puff sleeve shirt. This, I don't, the baby doll cut, I don't love, I didn't ever love it. I don't think it looks that great. This lady looks a little jealous at how great her puff sleeves look, but this is a little more toned down and in the color. I think everyone should have one shirt with puff sleeves. Okay.
You're pregnant.
Well.
Well, then you can do the baby doll one.
Yeah, you can do the baby. That's a lot of puff. No, it's not your time. You wait. That, you know what? That's a really good. That would look terrible. Like a puff, and a puff. Maybe it'd be cute. I shouldn't say terrible. You should never look terrible while you're pregnant, I guess. But just, you know, maybe it, I don't know.
I'll do the vest.
Okay. So this was 2019 also, they insist on these little bitty tops. And I think, I mean, in general, I like the look of it kind of in theory. But in application, it just cannot be done. In what world is like anybody, this lady is going to work? Are you telling me this lady is like, I am wearing my professional lawyer outfits, but I have a little tummy showing. I mean, I like how that looks, but there is not, I can't think of one place where you would wear that. Right? I don't get it quite in application. The sheer thing is very popular, which we'll talk about a little bit more. Well, it looks like a bathing suit underneath. A lot of the sheer dresses, and there were a lot of them online, had a bathing suit-esque thing going on underneath.
But you're not going to the pool then.
Not to the pool. Also to work? I don't know. Where are we going? We're not going anywhere. So if you want to wear it, get it and walk up and down your street. I don't know. I don't know. It's too bad. It's too bad that that's not going to work. Okay. This, I feel a little bit like the fashion people said to themselves, we have been spending a whole year in blankets on our couch, just wrapped up. And we love that. Like, that makes us feel secure. That makes us feel really good. And so they're giving us an option of continuing to wear our blanket out and about, but just call it a wrap, right? You get your blankie, wrap it all up, and just walk around. I mean, Hadley is, I see my nieces doing this too, like the tween thing is they just walk around with blankets all over. And this was before COVID, but it was just like, I have this fur blanket, and she walks into the kitchen in her fur blanket. And I'm always like, the fur in the kitchen, like, don't wear the blanket. The blanket goes on the couch. But if it was a wrap, you'd be like, oh, Hadley, you're wearing a wrap. You're very trendy. That's fine. Come into the kitchen all you want. Feel free. That was nice of them to give us a blanket option. This I thought was hysterical because some of you maybe still, I don't know, we wore Bella Bands in, like, you know, the second trimester of pregnancy where your jeans don't fit, so you wear that band thing. And now, if you still have one, you can just raise it up a little bit, put it on the outside, and you have a new 2021 accessory, your Bella Band. New life. New life. Didn't... I don't know. And it has buttons. Yep, has little nice little detail.
They go on this run when you walk, but I'm like, try putting a double stroller in and out of the trunk, and then like
it would crawl all the way up and just be like a scarf. So I that's not gonna work for you. This is like they call a capelet, and honestly, it you know, it doesn't give the same security as the blanket wrap would give it all. It's more like a napkin that just like pulled over your head, and that's not comforting. That's not cozy at all. So, and it's not warm either, so I would not do that one. Okay, so the sheer. That is, okay, the vests, I think, I'm also calling the sheer as in kind of every form in every kind of clothing, have it be sheer. It can, there were a lot of sheer but pattern too. Like kind of normal application, I think would be, you know, like this kind of thing, but also dresses, very billowy, but essentially would have like a full slip on underneath it. So like a solid, you know, solid fabric, maybe down to like right here, and the rest just sheer. And I think you can do that, and that will be around shirts, tons and tons and tons of sheer shirts. And I put her on because, well, she's fun. I just adore the vibrant colors, and that she just, I mean, obviously she's not picking it, but let's pretend she picked out her outfit. And she, I mean, in my world, like pink and green and yellow, just standing alone without like a touch of green in the top or something to make it work, that was like, that's old school. You can just go ahead and wear green and pink and yellow standing alone all by themselves. And it looks, I think it looks really great, really cute, really fun. I don't know where I want that shirt. I don't know where I would wear that shirt, but the pants I could not do. Could not do. This is my favorite page. Florals. I think this is, I don't know, maybe the fifth time I've said florals are in, but they are. And I think we started out with like a dark background, more like, and a smaller pattern of just a little more subdued. And now it's just like you are all in. I want to live like right here. I want to just be enveloped in all of those patterns and those colors. And look at this dress. Wouldn't that be great if you had this dress? That's my favorite. Well, this might be my favorite. I would look better in that, but floral still in everything. The maxi dress in a really maxi way is back. And, but like lighter fabric, not necessarily like jersey, but, you know, sheer and chiffon and flowy, bigger dresses, which I guess works for us again, reemerging out of COVID and our eating and whatnot. I'd be helpful. Okay, so I always have to touch on genes. The good news is that it's kind of anything goes, and every cut of gene is in style. They're generally shorter length. The boot cut, I mean, we haven't really been out and about, so we don't know. We don't know if this is really catching on. But if it does, I think that's great because the boot cut is so universally flattering. So I'm hopeful that we all go that way. And despite what, you know, the Gen Z, no more skinnies. I mean, the fashion people have been saying no more skinnies for, again, like 5 years, and yet everyone still wears them. So we're all still happy wearing skinny jeans. It's fine. It's good. This is probably, I would think, the most available, like most classic, the thing you would buy if you're going to buy a new pair of jeans. It's just a high, all of them are high waist. So any style, any cut, but always high waist, which again is like a positive, as opposed to like, yeah. right when I had Hadley, it was then all of a sudden when my home for my child was as it was, now all of a sudden I have pants that are underneath it, and like, that was so frustrating, so frustrating. So thank goodness that is not happening anymore. So high waist, straight leg. High waist, straight leg. And, you know, like a hem that is, you know, cut. Also good. This, I thought, these were so cute. These are so cute. But what they called these was confusing. This is a Madewell pair. And these were called a slim wide leg. But then instead of wide leg, then it would be more like a flare. So anyway, I like the look of it. I don't know that it's named correctly. I don't know how you could find that, but that looks cute. Of course, she's also really skinny. Yeah. So.
Wait, Jess, did you see any of the boat leg jean
boat
shape?
No.
I was researching
the boat leg.
Boat leg? I was having a conversation with friends about...
Tell me.
It's not good.
It sounds horrible.
It's so unflattering, but it's apparent. I think it was on Vogue or Elle, one of them. And it's shaped like a boat, like your jeans. They're billowy.
Oh, from here to here, like tapered in right here.
Yeah, like it goes out and then in. Like it's like a
boat. Like a little boat.
It's like
so two boats.
Yeah,
you're wearing two boats, like not just like.
Yeah, two boats. So like canoes. But like shaped out, and you look boat-legged.
I think they have
pleats. Yes,
yeah. No,
they're like this.
Kind of, well, you guys keep talking, but
wow,
it's pretty bad.
That sounds horrific. Let's all make a pact right now. that's hard to. Okay, shoes wise, not super exciting, I would say. I mean, the comfy theme is really there, which is understandable. No one's really going into the office. These are Hermé clogs that everyone is talking about on the runway. Like, oh, the Hermé clogs. You know, everyone, like every article was referencing this as if this was, you know, the thing. So apparently it's the thing. Clogs are fine. When I was a kid, I desperately, desperately wanted a pair of clogs and never got one. Maybe now is my time. Clogs are not like, you know, the most flattering of shoe. And they generally have a wooden sole, so they're also either really comfortable because they're exactly like what your foot is, but then you don't have the give that a regular sole does, so you're like this.
And I feel like people see your pounced heels, maybe.
This is true. That's true with a sandal, though, too. The sporty sandal, you know, running well again, still, whatever you want to say. Lots of colors, lots of different soles on that. If you don't have a pair of white sneakers, that's probably, like, if you're thinking, well, what's like one or two things that I'm going to buy, like a retro sneaker or a white sneaker, still, you know, definitely
dress up or down. Super cute, super comfortable. I have a white Puma pair that has like a little gold on the back and the side. It's really cute. And the house shoe outside. I just can't. I remember when it was like the first year that they had like a fluffy thing, and I was just like, you go outside and you collect any precipitation or mud, and then you have matted fur or fluff. I don't get it. But if you go shopping, the fuzzy slipper with an outdoor sole is what you need. That is all over every store. Louis Vuitton went a little like, this was weird because this was spring, and I'm like, that's very wintry, but who am I? Not Louis Vuitton. Okay, quickly, hair. I say quickly, as if. It's 8:12. Okay, I need to make a choice. I need to stop talking so much because I have actual real things to say. Okay, so the color, all sorts of colors, still in and still very accessible in lots of different brands and easy to do as a rinse. If you so choose. Also, streaks, still do that. Okay, this is a newer thing, the mullet. A lot of the cuts are more angular and jaggy and kind of disheveled, I guess.
Probably because we all cut our own hair.
Probably. Very good point.
And then people are trying to fix it.
Right, you're like, made a mistake over here. That's exactly right. That's what happened there. I'm not really going to comment on that. Bangs. I'm kind of considering bangs. I haven't had bangs since 7th grade. I have to say I am considering. Last time we talked about like the curtain bangs. They do look great. They look really great. And then it does just kind of go along with the shaggy modern cut here where I have naturally curly hair. So if my hair could look that cute, I might do that. But I don't know. It seems risky. Bangs seem really risky to me. People have bangs. Some people look cute. Well, you have bangs. That's cute, Jen. You have bangs. Yeah, that looks good.
Cute. I don't have curly bangs, though.
You don't? No, but your bangs look good.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so makeup-wise, am I actually doing this, Christina, or are you clicking it? Oh, good.
Okay.
You're too kind. Okay, so the big push would be for skin. So remember some years back when we did the K-beauty kind of came on the scene, we talked about all the Asian products and, it really hasn't stopped and, they're pushing laser treatments and it's just all about the skin being as young looking and healthy and dewy as possible. And, you should wake up and put 5,037 serums on. And then in the evening, it's like 84,000. I would love it if someone told me that there was a magic serum out there, but I doubt it. So, but good care for our skin. So the vibrant colored eye is the way to go. Because we can't really do much about our lipstick, so it's sad. Poor lipstick industry. This was also from 2019. So, and I think that if you like look at magazine ads and you're just or commercials, you will see like in legitimately a lot more vibrant color of just like a line or like Vivienne Westwood had, like lines drawn on your eyelids and in different colors. Which is, pretty far out. I did put on pretty green eyeshadow tonight, and, I will say. So this is the girl, this is Nicola, the girl on Bridgerton girl. This is probably the first picture. This is her getting ready for the Golden Globes last week. That's probably the first picture where I said, that's really pretty. Like she should do that. That looks amazing. She has very light skin, very light hair, very light eyes, and then this pink that to me is like genuinely really, really pretty. I'm not saying I would do it. I'm saying she should. She should do that. She should do that that night, and she should do it again. I think that looks great. So I think in general, let's just say that eyebrows are like bigger, bushier, more natural. Kind of a trendy social media thing was the soap eyebrow, where you take your spoolie, not from your mascara, but just like, you know, a clean one, and roll it in a, on top, or like this, on top of a bar of soap, and then do go straight up, and that it will, you know, stay wispy like that, because it was a thing to do. Okay. Yeah, if I was considering doing that, because, you know, I have eyebrows, but I thought, what if somebody gets on Zoom, like, halfway through, or when I'm trying to be, like, in my very serious talk, and the girl on the screen has, like, these eyebrows, because my eyebrows are, like, they're substantial, so I did do this just for fun, and it was too much. It was too much for the Zoom. Too much. So we didn't do that. Okay. I really need to go faster. Jessica, stop talking. The chains, this fall, the paperclip chain, probably, you probably saw it if you were awake and in the world, which you might not have been. So a chain that is flatter and more open, called, it goes by several names, but I think you see it most often as a paperclip necklace or paperclip chain layered with a herringbone. Oh, here it is. Surprise. plus, like, pendants that hang down. I think if you take a quick glance, the gold and the chains you'll just see are everywhere. It's an easy thing to do, and it's fun, and it looks great on everyone. Shoulder grazing length earrings, also all over. I think hard to actually pull off, and like these look really painful. These are ones like, okay, so this is runway, but these are ones you can buy. But how painful and heavy would these be? Yes, right on and off. Earrings are the hardest. So that cannot be a thing. It will be, but it shouldn't be. Textured metals, bags, so kind of a market bag, market tote kind of structure, and lots of netting holes in bags, and then carrying your phone around in a purse just for your phone and maybe something else, maybe your mask. I mean, this lucky girl gets to wear a bralette and have a Coco Chanel phone case thing. So she, that just seems very unpractical to me, but I guess, well, the whole thing, right? Yeah. No, I know. That's confusing. The Coach one looks classically Coach, and I bet they'll sell. I mean, they're cute. Wearing them as lanyards, I don't know, I think as a mom, like having something like bang again, that's not going to work. I did want to say, as I was looking through the slides, this was my ending slide last year because, or whenever, a year and a half ago, because I was like, look how far you could go. And then that kind of happened. So that's too bad. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah, that was fall runway 2019. So that's sad. Let's move on. I'm going to need a drink here. So, what'd you say? Oh, it's right here. Thank you. Question. Yes.
Question is, I feel like it would be so cool if, like, one, maybe two things, like, you found, because I wanted those white shoes, that's a great example, those white tennis shoes, but I'm very overwhelmed. Which one is cool? So if you put together, like, here's to your one link. This will look good on all of you.
Yes.
You know, here's one vest that will be good. And then
it's just
I don't know who that is. It's Vivian Westwood.
Well, I'm curious if you can't try on this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but like, you know, if it was...
Are you saying that you would like me to put together this and then send it to you?
Yes.
Okay.
So you could eventually get some credit from the vendors.
Yeah, true. Well, let me think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that... sounds really fun.
Just have a fashion blog.
Yeah, there you go.
Be the influencer.
Yeah, oh, heavens. Yeah, not in this life,
just,
I think.
Before you get serious,
yes.
I have to correct myself. It's not
bootleg,
it's barrel leg.
Barrel leg.
And I think my memory of it from just yesterday was so much worse than this picture, but I hated it so much. It's not that bad.
It is a bow-legged.
But yeah. It is very bow-legged.
I'm gonna have to look at that later. But
yeah,
is it pretty tapered on the bottom or no?
Not that much. It's I don't know. Anyway, I'll send it to you. It's
okay.
An L article from this month called "The Skinny Jean is Dead."
Yeah, it's dead again.
I mean, it constantly dies. I'm like, yeah, well, but we keep wearing them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are cute, yeah. And I do really like these. They're very comfortable. They're probably more comfortable than skinny jeans. But John is like, I don't think they're very flattering. You know, like, he'd rather see...
Form.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So...
When I went to American Eagle last week, I asked him, I said, do you guys have any jeans? Like, where are your jeans? It was all skinny jeans and then the skinny leggings. And they said, that's all we carry here because that's what all people want. Said, okay. They're like, if you want anything else, you have to order it on our online. So I was like,
interesting.
So skinny is still there, apparently.
Still there. It's definitely still there.
I went to Bagel yesterday about skinny jeans. And I'm always like, are they high waisted? Yes. I'm like, how high? How high can you go? Like,
yeah.
There's like inches by the belly button, and I need it like highest.
I mean, I go the highest.
So this is like a 10.5.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, the higher you go, the skinnier you are. So, like, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. They look great.
Hold everything in.
They're really good. And hold everything in, yeah. Unless they have too much. You have to have the right mix of, like, stretch, but not too much stretch, or else just kind of.
What about,
like,
is there someone else's maternity? What about rips? Are they in or out?
They're really in still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we're not waiting for anybody but me to start. Except I'm concerned because it's 8:24, and
okay.
Yes. Okay. So should I just keep going and you just won't? Okay. All right. My problem is in what I want to say. I also have stories, and it's hard to cut the story down. If you've ever tried to edit a story, it's harder to get to the... All right. I'm just going to go. We'll see. If your husband's up to stay with the kids, we'll just be here all night. No. Okay. I do feel like this particular thing that I want to say is really not of my own muddling. I really feel like this is something that the Lord has gifted us with. So I'm just going to say that right now and hope that it is relevant and pertinent and helpful for you. Then I'm just going to push the responsibility onto him, because if it's not, I really think this is what he wants me to say. So if it's not for you, take it up with him. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, I woke up and I felt really low. I didn't feel depressed. I do know what that is for me, and it was not that. But it was cold, and it was cloudy, and it was mothering in the time of COVID, and I just couldn't. And I'm supposed to be homeschooling Ike, who's 6. And so I made the obvious choice that homeschool should take place in my bed, for a bit. So I told him, you know, to grab his, you know, book two of the Boxcar Children. Come on in bed with me. I'm just going to lay here and close my eyes, and you read. I'll open my eyes when you need help with a word, which was plenty often, which is fine. And he was done, and I said, you know what, just, I was feeling off. So I kind of shooed him away, and I was like, it's 10 o'clock. I woke up at 8, but I really want to go back. I'm exhausted. I didn't have a bad night, but I'm so tired. So I'm wrestling around with his guilty feelings, and I decide to text John, who is downstairs, and just say, I'm not feeling right, and I'm just going to rest for a little bit. But I felt such guilt in doing that. But I also knew that I have the superpower that I have. You all might talk about your superpowers within your families, but maybe you don't. I don't know. No? Okay. My superpower is that if I'm going to take a nap, I can fall asleep in like 90 seconds. It's amazing. It is a superpower. I get it from my dad. It's not always true at night, but a nap, yes. So I'm like, I'm just doing it. Texted John. He didn't respond back. I'm out in 90 seconds. 40 minutes later, I wake up, and I feel so much better. I feel so much brighter, just like a different person. And I still, though, was wrestling around with, was I just escaping the morning? The main one was, am I shirking my job, like my role, my duty? I'm just like, oh, I'm not going to mom today, you know? Felt really guilty. But then I was like, well, or was this a healthy choice? Can I justify this by saying this was just self-care? I needed the nap, and so I was taking care of myself, and now I feel great. Now everybody can be happy. Again, it was, I had woke up like 2 hours later, back to taking a nap. Really, really strange for me. But I did it, and I kind of justified it in the name of self-care. So that word is kind of irksome to me because it's a little bit confusing with how we as believers take a word or a concept or something in culture, and we should always be like looking at it through a biblical lens. What does God say about this? What do we think God might say about this? Does this align with his character? Does this align with his word? You know, all of these things. And so the reason why self-care is confusing for me is because the Bible, you know, doesn't place a high priority on love of self, right? In fact, it condemns selfishness, and we know that selflessness and denying yourself are things that you're commanded to do. So in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Philippians, Paul is talking and says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interests of others. Now, both of these things are basically our daily life as a mother. We're constantly doing these things, whether or not we have the right spirit about it, the heart about it is one thing, but we definitely know how to do that. Let's look at what a working definition for tonight of self-care would be, that we attend to our physical health, our emotional health, and our mental health. And it usually involves an activity or a discipline that refuels us as opposed to taking something away from us. Okay, so an activity or discipline that refuels us instead of depleting us. So on the idea of being filled up, we know that we can't mother, obviously, or do any of the things that we're going to do on empty. We need to be filled. I mean, it would just be, you know, a total train wreck, and that doesn't make sense, and that doesn't make sense with the Bible. In fact, the Bible speaks over and over again on themes of abundance, healing, satisfaction, blessings in the form of health and provision and abundance, that health is joyful, and that death is like a crushed spirit. And of course, we know just by looking all over the world and using common sense, things that are thriving, that are full of life, is, you know, leads us more toward God as opposed to decay and death, which is the opposite of God or sin. So I think it's pretty easy to say that it's important to God that there is life, that there is health. In Isaiah, this is a verse that we had a couple years ago. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And Jeremiah 33:6, behold, I will bring it to health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. In Proverbs, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And John 10:10, one of my favorites, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So that's also in God's character. So of course it's important to him that we are healthy and fulfilled. It's also true that we cannot do our job of denying ourselves and of putting others first and of serving others if we're in a state of decay, right? We want to be that well-watered garden. So I think a good way of kind of meshing these two ideas is that there's a God-sanctioned goal of good stewardship, right, for our bodies that he has given them to us and to take care of. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. So the question then, if we're to be good stewards of our health, how do we keep filled up? How do we do this refueling? And in terms of self-care, I would suggest to you that as a mother, your self-care might look more like quick little fixes that fills you up for just a moment. That's probably true for most people, but it's certainly true for mothers. And I think that this has, in this last year, been revealed and laid bare in a different way, because the kind of stress that I think everyone has been under for the last 12 months is new and different, and it has caused us to justify doing what we need to do to survive. So we've put in place these little coping mechanisms or little treats, little ways to survive and get through. Coping mechanisms, of course, are not bad things, right? But they, in fact, let me read you what this definition is, because this is helpful. They're strategies that we use in the face of stress to help manage our pain or our difficult emotions. So this is not a bad thing. What I am looking at is how we use these coping mechanisms in the name of self-care to do these immediate, quick, little highs, little senses of satisfaction or placation, and that temporary fix can actually lead to long-term harm or unhealth. So on like a practical low level, these fixes are actually unfulfilling. So I'm in our when we had time, when we were going to do breakouts, I did want to talk about healthy self-care and give that time and credence, because there is definitely space for that, and I am not in any way trying to say don't do that or that you should feel guilt or shame in that. I mean, if you take a bath or you go to the spa or you get your nails done or things like that, that is really not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these unhealthy things that we do that we call self. And maybe we don't do it consciously, but that's how we're justifying themselves, ourselves to it. So the question that I want you to ask yourself is to really evaluate, what are one or two of your methods that you are using to help your soul? And in that moment of craving or disappointment or pain or difficulty, and would the reduction of the use of those be more sensible? Would it be more healthy? And for me, yes, absolutely. I'm just going to list some. I'm not going to flush them all out. But phone usage, huge. Alcohol, the glass of wine that you want every day at the end of the day because it's an award. I said I wasn't going to flush these out. Online shopping. I mean, yes, please. You feel so good when I said I wasn't going to flush them out. Stop. Sugar, overeating, overexercising. Sexual pleasure outside of the biblical bounds, fantasy or use of porn in books or on screen. And then what about the own prescription pills that you have or recreational drugs? So in that list, of course, is a lot of gray area, not necessarily for everyone, but it's a serious enough thing in the time that we're in that we need to be responsible and think about it. My personal issue is sugar, and that might not sound super terrible, but it's a real thing for me. And a favorite story of my parents and my aunts is that they would catch me eating out of the sugar bowl, and we had a sugar bowl like this that had one of those very easy access flip-top lids with a spoon that always was in there. And as a toddler and as a kid and as a tween and as a teen, that spoon in there would be wet and coated with sugar because I couldn't stop. And I never thought that, like, the anecdote about whatever they would say was ever, like, particularly funny, because I'm like, well, I need my sugar. Like, I know where the sugar is. I know how to access it. Yes, it was like, here's our stove, here's the vent, here's the cabinets, but, you know, I'm not dumb. I can move a chair and, like, get up and get it. And I was punished, but, I literally, like, I tried not to do it every day. I only took one. I remember this because it was like a thing, right? One teaspoon. I wouldn't have more than one teaspoon. I needed sugar. I found it. I ate it. It was just like end of story. Not super funny, mom and aunts. it remains a problem. I will put in like general overeating of bad things, but not salt. Sugar things, particularly candy, honestly. When we started with the shutdown a year ago, the kids would go to bed, and we would often then stay up later than we normally would and watch shows, and I would be like, I think I should have some candy. Now, I usually didn't keep candy in the house, but I started becoming a habit of buying candy, and so I would have like my little candy at night while we watched our Netflix. Well, then it was like, oh, I would have like a variety. And then it was like, it wasn't only at night. It was like, oh, I know where my candy is in the kitchen. And, oh, I'm going through the kitchen. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, I'm so over this. Whatever, blah, 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 you're saying to yourself. And I'm sure most of the time, not consciously, I would be like, I know what would make me feel better. I'll just have some, so like, not just sugar, I don't do the sugar anymore, but like circus peanuts and conversation hearts and jelly beans, like sugar. I'm talking about like sugar. So this did not really go well for me. I ended up gaining about 15 pounds and I really hated myself and I hated my lack of self-control. I didn't want any pictures to be taken of me. I mean, I still don't because I haven't lost it all, but like really, really bad and shameful feelings because the pleasure that I was rewarding myself with was not, it was greater than the shame, I guess, that I felt. So after Christmas, I really started taking, you know, stock of why and I, you know, what I was doing with the sugar. And I just really felt convicted that I was just trying to fill myself up with sugar, frankly, instead of with God and His beauty. And this isn't something that I can just change and muscle through. We know that we are unable to fill ourselves adequately and that we are unable to produce anything good apart from God. Another great verse in John, very familiar, but thinking of it in these terms. I'm the vine, he says, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's true. It's true. So self-care is a bit of a misnomer because, yes, we're caring for ourselves, but as believers, we know that we're relying on God to take care of us. We're relying on Him to fill us up. He does want us to be healthy and thriving so that we can serve other people, which includes denying yourself and being selfless. So I, this was me 25 days ago. This got very somber. I mean, it is serious. I made myself a big girl salad. This looks so gross to me. I'm really happy for all of you that love salads and think this looks amazing. This just is so unappetizing. It's just plain chicken and lettuce and cucumbers and carrots and snap peas, a whole big bowl of it. And I ate the whole thing. I was very proud of myself. It's like a mature moment. I want you tonight to evaluate your choices and to abolish the negative coping mechanisms that you use in the name of self-care. We need to be filled up with the Lord, which moves me to this. So if we remove something, of course, we need to replace it. So how do we allow God to fill us up? There's so many ways. What I want to speak to tonight is wonder hunting. And I'm going to tell you the origin of that. I'll do that now. So I would define wonder hunting, being a wonder hunter, is experiencing awe and beauty that directs our heart, our soul, and our mind, and our body to worship the creator of beauty. So the origin of this phrase is from God himself. He coined the phrase, and he gave it to Jen Burkholder. I'm not going to cry. January 2018 came to Kindred on that third Friday, and I just looked back in my calendar because when I was writing this, Jen, I realized just, oh, shoot, I'm really not going to cry, just how bad things were. John and I were going through an extremely difficult time. In fact, the week before that third Friday, he had been on a business trip, and that resulted in the biggest personal crisis that we have been through together since then. Not because of what he did, but anyway. So we were in days that were very dark, very, very low. And Jen had known that the last 8 months previous to that had been difficult and bumpy, and I know that she had prayed for us. But that morning she came to me, and she did not know that we were as low as we were and what had happened. And, I hate it when people are, like, surrounding in mystery. So this is distracting me. He was on a business trip and realized that his partner was an alcoholic. And that was going to really blow up our lives, which it did. okay. So she told me that she had been praying for me and that the Lord had spoken to her and given her a word about me and that I was a wonder hunter. That I was one who went and looked for and gathered wonder to bless others with it. I didn't even consider that I was going to cry. I was so astounded. First of all, it's not weird that Jen hears from the Lord because that's her superpower. It was so specific to me. I mean, you know when you take a personality test and the revelations, if it's a good one, and you're like, oh my goodness, like this is exactly it. You're like, it articulates it so well. It labels you. It identifies who you are, and it resonates with you, and you feel like, yes, that's me. And that's how it felt, like times a million. Like that's exactly right. Like God sees me. That's how He identifies me. I'm sorry, guys. And I was really able to cling to that in these last years. And in fact, this, I know Laura Christ was there. Kindred had a social a few weeks later, and we went to Alexandria to the AR workshop to make things. And I made the sign telling the lady beforehand that I wanted the words Wonder Hunter that I could paint. And that hangs in our bedroom. But the point of sharing it tonight, in part, is because it was to bless others. And 3 years later, I feel like sharing in this time, this word from the Lord, is for you also to be edified by it. because this is what I think the practical application of being a wonder hunter is in relation to self-care. It's practicing the discipline of in that moment of when we are craving something else, that we, instead of filling it with XYZ, we pause. We literally look around and we wonder hunt. We find that beauty because it is there. It is around us everywhere. It's overwhelming. And you behold that which the Lord has provided or created or made in His immense creativity. And as you behold that, that lifts your eyes to worship. You behold Him and worship the creator of wonder, of all wonder, and of all beauty. One thing I've asked the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. For how great is His goodness, and how great His beauty. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. This is a simple idea, but I think it's really profound. And I think it's for us, and I think it's true. Jenny Allen has a book out called Get Out of Your Head. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. It's really, really good. Jenny Allen is so solid, and what she writes is beautiful. In one chapter, she talks about beauty, and these words are just so much better than I can say it. Okay, listen to this. Beauty interrupts us. It awakens us. It undoes us. It cuts us open, and it restarts our hearts. Beauty is God's evidence of something far more wonderful coming, a world beyond the one we can imagine, even in the most spectacular moments here. A God better than what we hope for, a God who blows our minds. Good things happen when we train our attention on what is beautiful.
good things happen when we train. This is discipline, when we discipline our attention on what is beautiful, on that which is authentic and compelling and good. What's more, beyond the obvious emotional experience, those good things from the hand of God can point us to the one who creates beauty, who is beautiful. Beauty points our gaze towards the heavens and reminds us of hope. So good. So true and so good. And this is backed up by science. In 2019, there's a researcher at the University of Amsterdam who published an article on his brain mapping and MRI research, and it was shown that feelings of awe that a subject had shut down feelings of selfness, selfishness, self-centeredness. When we are in awe of something, he says, we become less self-centered and more others-centered. Okay, so there's that worship that happens when we turn away from ourselves. We can't, worship and self-centeredness can't coexist. And then in this book, Ruth Cho Simons, who is an artist. Do any of you have this book, Beholding and Becoming? It's just a, there you go. Beautiful. She watercolors and writes a devotional about.
Doesn't she have another one that's green?
She has now several.
Okay.
Yes.
They're
yeah.
Just really pretty.
They're just beautiful. And it's really about everyday worship. She says, we overlook the ways that God displays his glory through creation, relationships, and our ordinary circumstances in the day-to-day. We look for dramatic ways to experience God, but his presence and transforming work in our lives happen minute by minute. And that's a lot about what this book is about. It's the daily, minute-by-minute beholding him. And, I mean, she starts out with this watercolor in here because we become what we behold. So if we're taking time to behold that which is beautiful, we become beautiful. But more than that, if we're beholding Christ, the whole goal of our life here is to become more like him, right? So 2 Corinthians 3:18, this is encouraging. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are becoming transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are becoming more and more like Christ the more and more we behold him. So, I believe that when Jen got that word from the Lord 3 years ago, that he saw forward to this night, he saw this opportunity, and he wanted us to hear this instruction, that we would cease from fraudulent fixes and turn to behold his beauty. And I believe the results, if we do the wonder hunting, will be twofold. First of all, we will be fulfilled. We will be cared for. We will be able to live abundantly and to pour out into those that we serve. And then secondly, we will become more like him, which is amazing. So I have one more scripture, and it's really this end one. I lift my eyes, it's kind of a prayer. I lift my eyes to you. That idea of just lift up. There's so many songs, too, of lifting up. Lifting up your heart, your soul, your eyes. I lift my eyes to you, the one enthroned in heaven. Like a servant's eyes on his master's hands. Like a servant girl's eyes on her mistress's hands. So are our eyes on the Lord, our God, until he shows us favor. Show us favor, Lord. Show us favor. Thank you. Mm. 4 minutes to spare.
Yeah.
Except that I was supposed to edit it.
Thank you. That was awesome. So we